organizers have canceled many of the traditional summer events. While we won't be in big crowds all smashed together, people in different communities are finding new ways to keep us close enough and singing along to live music this summer. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for joining us on this Wisconsin weekend. We're talking about new ways we're reshaping our summer music traditions, and we're taking your calls. 800-642-1234. Now is your time. Does your community offer a summer outdoor concert? Is it postponed? Is it canceled? Is it still happening with different precautions? Let us know. Give your community a shout out at 800-642-1234. Our guest is Neil Willinson. He's the Vice President of Community Relations for Capco Metal Stamping. Neil, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Keeley, good morning.
Good morning. Your company is hosting an outdoor music concert and movie series called Live at the Lot. Why did you decide to create a film and concert series?
Indeed. Well, you know, for one thing, our company president, Jim Kaczmarek, loves music. Like all of us, I think.
It's a good start.
It gets very tough in the wintertime in Wisconsin and to live through all the cold winters. And I think so many of us look forward to the few short months that we have together in the summer. Summerfest, Irish Fest, all of the state fairs and county fairs. And by all accounts, they all seem to be canceled. We are a manufacturing company, you know, a multimillion dollar one, a big national business, and we have a lot of parking lots. One of our business interests is also in the entertainment industry. We have a publishing company in Nashville that Reba McEntire is part of. We also have K-Nation Entertainment, or what we call K&E, and it's a full-fledged production company. So we own a portable stage, we own sound, we own lights, and we have a lot of experience booking bands. So Jim Kaczmarek and myself and the team came together just a couple of months ago and said, well, what can we still do but make sure it is safe? Because safety, you know, with COVID-19 in mind is really paramount to us. And Live at the Lot was born.
Yeah, I do wonder about that, though, because we do see even now Wisconsin's outdoor concerts this time of year being canceled or postponed. Sometimes it's because of just how many people and it would be too much to manage. But why did you choose to move forward this month, not wait for later in the summer?
First thing we did was we consulted with the Zaki and Washington County Health Department, the Village of Grafton, the police, the fire, just to make sure that we have a good sound plan. And we felt like this is something that I'm not certain you could scale up. I don't know, maybe you could do this at Miller Park, you know, with thousands of cars. But our lot fits about 100 cars, but we're only allowing 50 to 60. So essentially, you pull your car into the lot. You are allowed to sit outside of your car. You bring your own lawn chair, so we don't touch anything. Our staff have masks on. And you can sit in a predetermined space. It's actually a marked space where you sit and you're far away from the next guest. So the performer on stage, tomorrow we have the lead singer of the Plain White Tees. He's probably used to playing in front of thousands and thousands of people, not 200 people. So it really is, it's a nice venue. It's a big venue, but it's really intimate between the artist and the audience. So we found a way to make it safe. And we've had about a handful of concerts now. And I'm so impressed with the audience members. I would say they're quarantining whoever they come with in their car, so they could be friends, they could be neighbors, they could be family members. These are folks that they've been hanging out with already, but they stay in their little pod, and they're not interacting with anyone else. So people have really been following the social distancing rules thus far.
So not only are you specifically making sure that cars are in their own spots, but you're also saying, hey, if you come to this, there's also an expectation that you're going to help keep other people safe, too.
No doubt about it. It's the first thing that we announce. We give a gift pack when they arrive, and there's masks in there. There's a Purell hand sanitizer in there. The porta potties, you know, you go to an event, they might be cleaned once every 3 days. We clean them daily. We have them serviced daily. They're spaced out. There's food available, but you cannot wait in a food line. You have to stay by your car. And our caterers provide the food directly to your car. You order online. It's all cashless. So we really tried to give a lot of thought to, you know, once we decide, yes, let's try to get together safely this summer. People are out and about. They're at big box stores. They're at grocery stores. They're together anyway. How can we do it so we can still enjoy summer, the joys of music, the joy of being together in the sunshine, and we really found a safe way to do it. And you know, 1% of us said, well, could this be dangerous? And in fruition, it's been very safe. Even, you know, there's elderly people that have been coming to some of the shows, and I've been asking them privately, how do you feel? They said, we feel perfectly safe. We're far away from people. We're enjoying music, and that's really what we set out to do with Kapka's Live at the Lot.
Neil Willenson is the Vice President of Community Relations for Kapko Metal Stamping. The company is hosting an outdoor music series and movie series you just heard Neil mention called Live at the Lot. And we're taking your calls wondering what's happening in your part of Wisconsin. 800-642-1234. Do you love attending outdoor music concerts? Have some that you planned on going to been canceled or postponed? Are you finding others like this one that are still happening and trying to figure out how to make sure to keep yourself and other people safe? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. How have the people who have come to your concerts really responded to the regulations? I know you said that people have said that they feel safe, but do you have people say, why do I have to wear a mask, or why do I have to keep my distance? Or does everybody kind of get it right now, Neil?
Because they're distanced from other groups, we don't require masks, but I would say a certain percentage has been doing it, and our staff certainly wear masks because they're roaming, and any members of the media that are taking pictures, they're wearing masks, and the production crew are. But people are just so happy to be together, you know, kind of together apart, as we say. But they're in their little groups, they're with their families, they're with some friends in small groups, and just to be able to see a band on stage is something that most of us did not think would happen, because It seemed like, you know, this spring, every festival starting, you know, with Lollapalooza and South by Southwest, all you heard was cancellations. And then, God forbid, Summerfest had to cancel. And we completely support those decisions and understand, given COVID-19. But given the size of our lot and the number of cars, you know, we found a way to make it safe. So we're getting tremendous feedback. People that came to our series last Friday, we had country megastars Thompson Square. This is not a group that would normally play for 50 cars and a couple hundred people, but they heard about the cause, which is helping children of fallen military heroes and children who have incarcerated parents. They heard about you know, our desire to hear live music, and they said, let's do it. So we're getting some regional and national headliners that you just wouldn't normally see, you know, in Grafton, Wisconsin, during a pandemic. And people have really responded with full lots and a lot of tickets sold. It's been really exciting.
About how much does it cost, Neil?
We charge per car. And so, okay, we don't allow people to pack 10 people into a car. It's one person per seatbelt for safety. And we ask that the folks that come are ones that you have been quarantining with over the last few months. But it's typically the pricing starts at about $30 a car. Some of the shows, like tomorrow, has the lead singer of the Plain White Tees, which, you know, they've had number one hits. Tom Higginson is an incredible international artist. That starts at $55 a car. So if you get four people, it's still a very low-cost summer option.
All right. Neil Willenson is with us. His company started an outdoor music concert and movie series called Live at the Lot. It runs until June 20th in Grafton, Wisconsin. And we're talking about what's ahead on the schedule for Live at the Lot, how they're trying to make sure that people are safe but can still experience some of the fun that is outdoor music in Wisconsin, especially as so many concert series, as so many events have had to be canceled just because organizers can't make sure that they'll be safe in this current pandemic. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What do you think? Should more music festivals be happening right now? Are you upset that one that you love has been canceled? What are you going to do instead? And what do you hope for later in the summer? 800-642-1234. There's a line for you at that number. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Our conversation with Neil and about outdoor concerts continues here on Wisconsin Weekend. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network.
So much left to say. If every simple song I wrote to you would take your breath away, I'd write it all. love with me, you'd fall. We'd have it all.
And that, of course, is the Plain White Tees. The lead singer of that group is on the docket for an outdoor music concert series that is still happening here in Wisconsin. Just one of the people, one of the musicians that will be playing. And we know that fairs that usually draw crowds for, among other things, live music. But if you planned on going to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, think again. It's canceled. Jefferson County Fair, same. Washington County, Kenosha County, Waukesha County, all not happening this year. And with the State Fair and Summerfest also no-goes, some music fans are taking it upon themselves to get creative and design concerts that celebrate summer and are also safe. The one we're talking about happens in a parking lot. This is Wisconsin Weekend on the Morning Show. You're here on the Ideas Network. We're talking with Neil Willinson. He's VP of Community Relations with Capco Metal Stamping, and the company's running an outdoor concert and film series called Live at the Lot. Neil, Plain White Tees, what are some of the other options that are still on the docket for people who are thinking, well, I could do an outdoor music fest like this. I'd love to find out what happens yet this summer.
Yeah, it's a really eclectic schedule. First, you know, people can go to liveatthelot.com, liveatthelot.com. It's updated daily. But tickets are almost sold out for many of these shows because, again, we're only allowing 50 to 60 cars max. But tonight we have an incredible big band. They're called the Milwaukee Tool Shed Band. Many of them are staff members and executives at Milwaukee Tool, and they rock. It's like a 10 or 11-piece band. Tomorrow you played Hey There Delilah, you know, one of the biggest pop songs in recent history in the last, you know, 20, 30 years. Tom Higginson will be there solo. He's also bringing two friends that he produces called Fairview. So they're coming in from Chicago. So that's tomorrow night, Saturday. We also try to just be eclectic. And Sunday afternoon at 5:30, we've got cellist from the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, Peter Thomas. And he's going to be doing a set of different kind of music, not just classical, but pop as well. And then he's opening up for the Miles and Amanda Jazz Ensemble. They're originally from Cedarburg, Wisconsin, but moved to Chicago, and one of the best-known standard singers from Sinatra to other classics. The next day, Peter Thomas is back, and we're showing The Lion King as soon as it gets dark. So 7:45, Peter Thomas will begin a set, and then dozens and dozens of little family groups will come to our parking lot safely and watch the new Lion King that was produced in 2019.
Well, and this film and concert series that's taking place in your company parking lot, you've planned for something like 20 concerts and movies in June?
Yeah, indeed. I think we're going to probably end somewhere around 18, 19, 20, and we may do some private events as well for the Capco staff. And we've had one first responder event where we're honoring, in particular, COVID frontline health workers. Nurses and doctors that work with COVID patients. We brought in, as I mentioned before, Thompson Square, the country band. And the second to the last night is for the same group, and we're bringing in probably the state's most well-known country group. They're called Bella Kane, and it's another private show. So we're trying to use the venue not just, you know, as a way for the public to come and enjoy music, but to target some private groups and some citizens that have really given so much to us during this pandemic.
Yeah, Neil, I get that this is the concept, but I love that you talk about the venue, and it really is a parking lot that you've transformed. What kind of work goes into switching it so that you don't go there and go, this is just a parking lot?
Well, first of all, you know, one of our manufacturing leaders sent me an email like a week before the conference and, Neil, are you aware there's like 10 trailers in that parking lot that we use for manufacturing? And I said, well, you know, our president is on board. And so the staff did a fantastic job really converting a busy parking lot that's used for some of our manufacturing supplies into an empty lot. And then we have a grounds and facility staff, and our production staff had to literally paint the parking lot with markers so people know where they can and can't go. And we had to recruit, you know, parking volunteers, build the stage. You know, we own the stage, but they had to raise the stage, hang the lights, the signage. So it looks like a mini summer festival. And I'm just excited to welcome more people. So far, you know, we've had a couple of thousand people come out to enjoy the show. And I think when we're done, and the number will probably end up at about 3,000 people will come through the grounds.
Wow. For communities maybe thinking about creating a concert series similar to yours, scaled back, but still a unique experience, where do you recommend they start?
Yeah, I think you have to look at securing the grounds. And for us, we spent a significant amount of time on the rules and the policies and sharing those policies, being thoughtful about it. getting the blessing and input from health officials and medical centers nearby. We just wanted to make sure that everything we were doing was well thought out and that there was really no risk. And so that was the first thing we did. We didn't even look at the production. We looked at the safety. That's paramount to our company as a manufacturer. Safety is the most important thing. And so, you know, my own children have attended these shows, so I feel comfortable having my young kids there. And that's really the rule. Would you be comfortable being there yourself and having your family? And the answer is yes. But we've actually been advising a couple of other local communities on how they might be able to do this. And for us, we still think it's important that it's a concert by car, that you don't just open up a lot and let 1,000 people in and let them sit where they want. We pull in their car using a very deliberate system. They buy a space. It's a deliberate space once they get there. And then it's a marked space where they can sit. And other than using, you know, the porta-johns, there really is no reason for them to walk anywhere. And what we're not seeing is guest movement. People come in, they sit, we allow carry-ins. They can bring some food and beverages, or we can sell them some safely. And they really are staying in their area. So we're really proud and impressed with you know, what the guests are doing and adhering to these social distancing rules. And that's what we're telling communities. If you do it by car and you limit the number and you make it cashless as much as possible, it feels safe to us.
Neil Willenson works in Grafton. All month long, that company he works for is running an event called Live at the Lot. It's an outdoor music and movie series that takes place in a parking lot. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Neil's with us for a few more minutes, and all hour long on Wisconsin Weekend, we're talking about outdoor music and how there are still some ways we can access it, even though so many things have had to be canceled. 800-642-1234. Let us know, what do you love about live music? Are you missing it? And where have you found a place where you think you can go and also stay safe? Neil, you mentioned several different artists. There's a full lineup, and we'll make sure that there's a link on WPR.org/mornings. But I wonder how you went about booking so many different kinds of musicians.
You know, this is such a tough time, Keely, for musicians. And it's not only musicians, it's production personnel, it's security guards, it's T-shirt manufacturers, it's food service providers. It's everyone involved in event. Literally every theater in our state, to my knowledge, is closed right now. Thousands and thousands and thousands of shows, thousands of people out of work, and that includes musicians like Tom Higginson. They're not working. Summer is the prime touring season for virtually every touring act in the country. This is when they make their money, and they're absent of any revenue whatsoever. So frankly, the artists were really grateful for the opportunity. You know, with only 50 cars, we do pay the artists, but it's not necessarily their full fee. So we even encourage the audience if they'd like to tip the artists. And so far, you know, the low mark has been, you know, a couple $100s. And last night's artist made several $100s. So the artists are thrilled to do it. They're contacting us. Our schedule's full right now, unfortunately, and we can't take any more artists. But there really was a queue for artists that wanted to play the series.
And Neil, we talked about food, being able to bring in your own food or buy some there safely. But what about alcohol? Because some people do, you know, experience summer music in that way. They want to listen to music. They want to have a drink. What's your policy?
Well, in general, Capco is a very family-friendly company, so we want people to certainly, you know, have a great time, but also be mature about it and be safe about it. We do not sell alcohol. We sell food, and it's just terrific ballpark-type food, from hamburgers to hot dogs to impossible burgers, and so we can provide that. We allow people to carry in what they'd like, but we just ask for moderation with that.
All right, and I assume also then, especially because people are driving, that's on your minds too?
Indeed, and you know, that's why we have not seen anybody take advantage of that situation at all. So certainly I'm seeing some people sit down a lot and have a drink or two over the course of many hours, but we have not seen any intoxication. So, you know, I'm just proud of the audience, because we really didn't know when we set sail. But people have just been grateful for the opportunity to sit in a lawn chair in a sunny day and enjoy live music.
Yeah. What do you hope that people who attend gain from it? I mean, what do you want to leave us with when this concert series is over, at the end of the month?
Well, for me personally, you know, I have two kids, one in high school, one in middle school, and they're pretty bummed. I mean, kind of almost depressed leading into the summer. A lot of the swimming pools were closed. Their summer camps were closed. Everything that they enjoyed doing was limited. And I did not have a lot of hope that it was going to be a great summer. But once, you know, we had that first night with Thompson Square and I saw a couple hundred people there and they were sitting safely, we were sitting in the sun listening to music, I said, you know what? There is hope for us. There's hope for Wisconsin that we can still have some fun this summer.
Hmm. Neil, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Neil Wellenson is the Vice President of Community Relations for Capco Metal Stamping. The company is hosting an outdoor music concert and movie series called Live at the Lot in Grafton, Wisconsin. It runs until June 20th, and proceeds made from the series event go to the Hometown Heroes charity. It's Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. Coming up, we've got an update from the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra on their summer plans for what used to be concerts on the square in Madison. And we're taking your calls about live music. 800-642-1234. Do you think outdoor music festivals are safe? What are you thinking about when you decide whether to attend one? Maybe your favorite festival was canceled. Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Keely Boltina, and this is the Ideas Network. If you haven't been to a concert on the square, chances are you've seen a photo of the event, an orchestra playing in the shadow of Wisconsin State Capitol building, a sea of people with blankets and snacks, all gathered to enjoy the music and the company. COVID-19 has upended those plans this summer, but don't worry, we've got you covered here on Wisconsin Weekend. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent, and we want to hear from you in this conversation, 800-642-1234. What do you love about live music? Are you going to any place outdoors this summer in Wisconsin to hear some of it, whether it's classical or country or rock? Tell us what your plan is to still get in your summer fix. 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email to ideas at WPR.org. We've got the CEO of the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra with us to talk about what's next for the not exactly Concerts on the Square series. Joe Lanis, thank you for joining us here on the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Keely, for having me.
Take us back, indulge us a little bit. This time of year, families gather in downtown Madison for Concerts on the Square. What's the atmosphere and attendance usually like at those outdoor concerts?
Yeah, since 1984, so this would have been our 37th season up on the square, six Wednesdays in the summer, starting the last Wednesday in June, about 30 to 40,000 people will descend upon the square and listen to classical music and with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. So it's quite an event.
All right, we're talking with Joe Lanis. We may have lost the connection a bit.
My numbers. Oh, go ahead.
No. I'm sorry. We lost your connection a little bit as you were explaining what it usually looks like and feels like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so every Wednesday in the summer, starting in the last Wednesday in June, we have about 30 to 40,000 people that come down to the square to hear the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra with our 37-year-long running Concerts on the Square. And I was there last summer before I started officially, just seeing how the setup happens. And folks will get down there at about 9 in the morning and set up their blanket and stay on their blanket all day long just so they can get their seat next to the orchestra.
Yeah, it's quite a sight, but that can happen this year. So we'll fast forward and talk about summer 2020. Instead of offering concerts on the square this month, the orchestra is holding some drive-in concerts. What's going on there?
Yeah, so we made an announcement this week that in light of COVID-19, we're going to postpone the first four concerts. And in replace of those, we're going to have two drive-in concerts. We have a great partnership with PBS Wisconsin, as well as the Mallard Stadium run by Big Tops Promotion. June 24th and July 22nd, we're going to plug into what the Madison Mallards Stadium has done and then drive-in concerts. So we have a 4th of July themed concert that we will show in the drive-in on June 24th. And then we have a film night, actually, from 2019 that we'll be showing on July 22nd, and each night we'll have two showings of those concerts, one at 7 o'clock and one at 8:45. So when you're dealt lemons, you make lemonade, and it was a quick pivot, but we still wanted to be there for our community this summer, and this is a great way to do that.
So these two events that you're talking about in particular, these are concerts that you're rebroadcasting for the crowd.
Correct. We're rebroadcasting one from 2015 and one from 2019.
How did you decide which concerts to use?
Well, we first reached out to PBS Wisconsin just to see what concerts they have in their archive. Typically every year PBS will do a broadcast. They'll do a full production of one of our concerts. So they sent us an email with seven options. And we, with Maestro Andrew Sewell, he kind of looked at them, and based on the time of year with the 4th of July and the nature of the film night, he immediately gave us a roster order of what his preference was, and we all agreed. So that was kind of the plan.
Sounds good. Taking the lead from the maestro makes sense.
Yeah.
We're talking with Joe Lanis. Yeah, go ahead.
Actually, two weeks ago, we did our second. Here I'm back. 2 weeks ago, we actually did another one, a 2018 rebroadcast of a concert called Don't Stop Believing, which was a group called Jeans and Classics that comes in for our Pops concert, and they did a Journey and Queen tribute. So we did that May 21st. It's really interesting right now to try to continue to provide content, and these drive-in concerts will be a way to do that.
Yeah, you're hearing from Joe Lanis, who's the CEO of the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra, and we're talking about what the orchestra is doing to still get classical music to people, even when those big events of the summer where people are right next to each other have to be canceled. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Maybe you've attended concerts in the square in Madison. What do you like about it? Perhaps you're a musician. What do you think about outdoor concerts this summer, and how are you still going to access live music outdoors in the summer when so many events have had to cancel? Tell us about what's happening in your community at 800-642-1234. Joe, earlier in our conversations, we've talked about keeping people safe and that's a priority. So not only are you not having the concerts in the square where blankets are up against one another, but what safety measures are you taking to reduce health risks with these broadcasts of the concerts you have planned?
Yeah, so we worked closely with Vern Stenman, who's heading up this drive-in concept over at the Mallards, and he has gridded out the outfield of the Mallard Stadium. So these cars will be, for lack of a better term, socially distant in the way cars need to be socially distant. And one of the rules about these drive-ins is you can't get out of your car. So it's not like you can park your car and then lay out a blanket and just have your picnic. So there is a requirement to be in your car while you're watching the concert. The music, the audio gets funneled in through an FM station, so you could hear it in your car while watching the television. And then I think they have policies where when they go and get any food and beverage from the concessions, that it's socially distant, single file. I know they have hand sanitizer stations. But for this type of production, being in the car is kind of the biggest measure they're having to keep everybody safe.
Sure. And we've been talking about how to keep people who want to listen to the music safe, but what about the musicians at this time? How have you had to handle the orchestra differently? And because when, you know, the images we have of the orchestra are people poised all side by side, all playing together and working off of one another's sound. And, you know, that's not what the public health guidelines tell us we can do right now.
You cut out there, but I think I got the gist of it about the musicians.
Yeah. What about their safety, and how are you making sure that they keep up the connection, but that they're also well?
Yeah. Well, one thing that I've heard loud and clear from our musicians is they really want to get back to playing, which is really encouraging if we can find a way to do it safely. One of the things I haven't talked about yet on this conversation is we've reserved two concert dates, one August 25th and one September 1st of this summer for potentially a live concert based on the Forward Dane Health Guidelines. So we've reserved Bree Stevens Field, which is an enclosed space. It's not the square. So in theory, if Forward Dane Health Guidelines can get to phase three, we can have an outdoor event for up to 250 people. So if we get there, and we'll find out more later in July, early August, if it's possible, our musicians would be playing live. And 3 weeks ago, we had a conversation with the Players Committee, and they sent us what their playing requirements would be based on actually a science report that came out of a German orchestra. And essentially, based on your instrumentation, there are different distancing requirements. For string players, it's generally the 5 to 6 foot social distance requirement that we all experience day to day as we go outside. But as you get into the wind section and brass section, those distances increase because you're blowing air through your instrument. And we all know that some of the risk factors is aerosols that are in the air. So one of the things we're doing is we have now a 10,000 square foot footprint for the orchestra, and that accommodates all of these distancing requirements.
To wow, 10,000 feet.
10,000 square feet. So yeah. Andrew and I were at Bree Stevens with our production manager, Sam Pavel, and measured this. And if you can imagine Andrew at the end zone conducting, like right where the field goal post is, and his first violins and second violins would be on one of the sidelines way out there as you spread out the stand, and then your cello section and timpani section will be on the other end. And so he's going to have to conduct with musicians about 25 yards away from him, which typically doesn't happen in an orchestra. Typically, you're probably within a, 7 to 8 yard radius of an orchestra.
Right.
So spacing, and then we're also going to have some shields. They're called sound shields, which will deflect, I guess, the movement of air. So these will be sort of engulfed some of the wind players. And then one thing that's interesting that we're trying to figure out is that, I think I'm back. Did you lose me a little bit?
Nope, we can hear you.
All of the musicians are mic'd for these outdoor concerts, but when your last chair second violin and last chair cellist are 40 yards apart, they can't hear them each other very well. So we're going to have to install or implement hotspots where the mixed sound that is mixed from all of the microphones will be beamed back as hotspots, so they can actually hear the musicians across the field. Now, in theory, this is possible, but it'll be curious if we can do this, if there's any lag in sound, and what's that going to do to the production.
Yeah, it sounds like orchestra experiences will be a lot different for us for the foreseeable future. We're talking with Joe Lanis, who's CEO of the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. He stays with us as we explore during this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. Still time for your question at 800-642-1234. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend, and we're talking about gathering to enjoy music of all kinds in the summer and doing that safely as the COVID-19 pandemic is still very much a public health crisis. Organizers are doing their best to offer options that connect people with the music they miss. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and our guest is Joe Lanis. He's CEO of the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. Joe, with needing to postpone scheduled concerts as of March this season because of the pandemic, what has the orchestra done digitally these past few months to try to keep up that connection between the orchestra and the audience?
Yeah, one of the things we looked into right away is to figure out how do we stream pre-recorded concerts. We never dipped our toes in that before. But within 2 weeks, we had successfully executed on our first stream. We don't have many pre-recordings of concerts, but March 27th was our very first streamed event, and then we did another one on May 18th. So I think orchestras and other arts groups have used streaming of past concerts to continue to engage and connect with their patrons. So that's one thing. The other thing we also did, which was a really intentional way to bring our musicians specifically closer to our patrons, is we launched a concert series out of their home. So every musician were able to record a 2 to 3 to 4 minute piece of music in what we called our hashtag Calcerto series. And we
Calcerto,
ran them,
like a couch and a concerto. Yeah. Calcerto? Okay. I'm with Calcerto. You. I'm following.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So they had the opportunity to talk about the experience of being at home, being a musician, their yearning to be back into the concert hall, but then really share their music. And we've had some musicians play with their family members, whether it's their kids or their spouses. Some musicians just played solo music, but it really showed the personality and the talents of our musicians. And that series was a really sort of intimate way to get to know the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. So we've been really intentional in trying to stay relevant and nimble since the start of the pandemic.
All right. I hate to go here, but look into your crystal ball. What do you think the 2020-2021 season will look like for the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra?
A series of pivots and innovation. We are actually in the process of planning option Bs for all of our indoor Masterworks concerts. If we can't play in the venue at Overture because of restrictions, if we have to find an alternative venue, if we can only have a limited number of musicians play, either based on health guidelines or spacing requirements, we're looking at different repertoire with different instrumentation to plug and play into our typical Masterworks concerts, which generally have 35 to 45 musicians on stage. So that's one thing we're doing. We inevitably, I think all of us are feeling that the season as we have planned it is going to change. So that's to us, that's a certainty. It's possible we may not be back in the performance hall until next spring, based on when we get a vaccine. And even if we get a vaccine, will our patrons be, psychologically be comfortable in a performance hall? So we're preparing to be online or digital or removed for, upwards of next summer, if possible.
Plan for the worst, hope for the best. Joe Lanis, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. We really appreciate it.
Certainly. Joe Lanis is CEO of the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. We've spent this Wisconsin weekend talking about options for enjoying music of all kinds outside together while staying at least 6 feet apart, especially since so many major events have had to cancel this year. It's time for Wisconsin Life Now. Here's a story from WPR's John Davis and Brad Kohlberg about bus driving during the pandemic.
It's a chilly mid-May morning as the La Crosse Municipal Bus rounds the corner without stopping to pick anyone up. One passenger sits near the back of the bus as a sign on the front of the bus reads, "Essential Rides Only."
I'm Karen Martinez Casper. I work for Milwaukee County Transit System for 10 years now. For me personally, it has been a mix of emotions. I'm really grateful that I've been able to keep working and doing the job that I love every day. But, it's also been a little bit scary. I have a family, children, grandchildren that, I wouldn't want to, get anybody sick, because we are around people all day. So it has been just a real mix of emotions, but truly I feel myself very blessed that I'm still being able to work and help people get to where they're going, work, doctor's offices, the store. And I think it's been working actually very well. Most of them are so happy that we are still running, because some of them said they would have had no way to get to work or to the doctors, the store, We even got a card from a grateful passenger is how it was signed. And the passenger said that they were so happy and that they thanked us so much for, you know, being essential for them so that they could get around to their job, or they would have had no other way to go. We've been out there since this whole thing started, and we're just going to keep being out there to help everyone we can. The passengers seem to be a lot more pleasant and grateful. And I mean, I'm grateful for that too. I mean, we just want to have a good day out there, just like anyone else does at their job. And I do think there's a newfound, you know, just that we're all seeming trying to help one another out there. I think a lot of people will probably still be wearing masks, the new normal. I really don't know how that's going to go, to tell you the truth. I don't really have the opinion, but I really hope people wear masks and keep remembering not to get on a bus if you're sick or even go out, you know.
Bus services across the state haven't gotten back to normal yet, but most dropped the essential rides only mandate around Memorial Day.
My name is Gary Gruen. I draw a city bus driver with Eau Claire Transit. The end of July here, I will have 12 years of service driving. Well, there's been a definite, noticeable, gradual, steady increase since the day they removed the non-essential travel only. I'm not a big fan of that, to be honest, just because this virus is not gone. It seems to be taking a little hiatus for whatever reason, maybe the season. I don't understand science or viruses. That's not my deal, but I know it's not magically gone. Sometimes these things happen and you're kind of set back by them, and I'm watching it every day. I'm watching my numbers go up a little bit, but the people are still entering through the back door at this time with Eau Claire Transit anyhow. That's a big deal to me, and I'm not excited to take the next step, and I'm afraid that it's coming soon to where they open up the front of the bus for non-essential travel as well. Our passengers in our community here in Eau Claire, it's a pretty safe community. All of our passengers are grateful, you know, and I mean all of them, you know, the ones on every end of our spectrum in society, class of life, whatever, you know. I see that changing. I mean, you have little bumps in the road day to day from a certain passenger here and there, but overall, our community is very appreciative for the service we provide.
Aaron Martinez Casper is a bus driver in Milwaukee County, and Gary Gruen is a city bus driver in Eau Claire. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Brad Kohlberg.
Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your suggestions for Wisconsin Weekend to ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Next up, we're talking about Western Wisconsin and how COVID-19 and farming have all been affected in this pandemic. I'm Keeley Boltina. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.